Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Old School from whatthebuck.net here with a new cast, really. We got Chris from Bucks Brief Podcast, who's still here. He's still drinking, which
I
want to
be Rick Farter.
On this one. I want a
Rick Farter.
I want an alias, too.
No, you get no
Rick,
aliases.
Rick Martyr. Okay, that's my name.
Martyr, that makes more sense with what we're going to talk about some tonight. For those of you who don't know what we're doing, this is our After Hours podcast. You know, there are some folks that think Uncensored Podcast just started this year. We were doing one for a decade.
This is where we can say fucking shit.
Just because you can. It was like when Stern started doing it. And
penises!
Penis! In the movie Old School. You don't have to celebrate it.
Right.
But if it's appropriate, and you heard the voice, the dulcet tones of Nuck Nuck, who narrowly averted another evening in the Hillsborough County lockup. Nuck Nuck, welcome. Go ahead and get that dip in there,
hey,
Nuck Nuck.
I
Jesus
let
Christ.
You know.
That's like having a chew in your lip.
Hey, listen, I had to put my dirt bike out back. I had to put it in the pool, but I'll help you get it out. It's got a little oil leak, but we can take your skimmer and get it out. But they were on my ass, and I was able to get out of there, but they didn't get me. I apologize for the donuts in your front yard. I will have some of my buddies come out with some shovels tomorrow and fill those in.
Welcome, welcome. For those of you who don't know, Nuck Nuck is a friend of Mark's. I'm not sure how close a friend you guys are, because Mark sort of distances himself from you, Nuck Nuck.
Well, he acts like that on the air, but that's because he don't want to lose his job. But the fact is, we're BFFs. He tries to act like he likes Nick Carter, but he likes me more.
Number of Nuck Nuck people in your life that would use BFF. Yeah. Over under.
I don't have that many people in my life. Listen, I just want to let you know, man, I apologize. No one was able to get in touch with me this week. I ended up in New Orleans, and she turned out to be a he. It happens.
It does.
When you do as much blow as we were doing after the game, you end up in the wrong bus on the way home. And if anybody seen my moped, I had to borrow a dirt bike to get here tonight. But if y'all know where my moped is, let me know.
If we find it, we'll let you know. It shouldn't be hard to find that moped.
It's now got my beeper on it. I need it.
I think Mark picked your beeper up. You're good.
Oh, good. All right. I didn't see him on the way out. I think he's mad at me.
He probably is. Don't talk about Nick Carter again. He won't be mad at you.
That's true.
All right, Chris, now let's jump right into this. You guys know that sometimes we do this when we get pissed off, because we try and be more constructive with our anger nowadays. We're older, more sage. Chris has moved on to greener pastures.
You got a lighter?
No.
All right, just checking.
I move on to greener pastures when Nuck Nuck's here.
I like green pastures.
He's moved on to greener pastures with BYOCB. Now, Doug Martin, the narrative this week, because Gerald McCoy's been playing well enough that even people who don't understand football can see he's playing good.
That's odd.
Or playing well. I'm sorry, I spoke like Nuck Nuck briefly. Now the narrative, the microscope has moved over to Doug Martin. Now, you went and did some analysis. Now, how do you do analysis, Chris, when you're trying to figure out if a player is actually doing well? How do you break that down?
Can I tell you how I do it? I just read Twitter. Whatever people say on Twitter, that's my analysis.
But Nuck Nuck is playing the everyman role, and I like
you.
What you're doing there.
You like
but
that?
I see what you're putting together.
Yeah.
The reason we do these type really of things Twitter. Is that's what happens, because when it becomes a narrative, it's amplified by Twitter, by Bucks fans on Twitter. And they're not coming up with it. Sorry, Bucks fans. You're not making up some of the stupid shit that you're saying, right? You're hearing it or seeing it or whatever somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I fought with NFL Game Pass for 3 hours to watch 14 carries by Doug Martin. Freaking NFL Game Pass. Get your shit together.
The NFL has the worst website design.
It's awful.
Clunkiness, bugs. And I don't know that much about the intranet.
You guys know a lot about, well, you don't. Mark knows a lot about bad websites, because his site was terrible for a while, but now it's great.
Dang, I hope he's not listening.
No, it was terrible, but you guys got it back. Now it's terrific, but your point is a good one. Pewter Report's got a great website now, but the NFL website is still a big steaming pile of dog shit.
Yep.
And Game Pass is barely passable at times.
Do they really need the extra money for all the damn pop-ups they have too? Really? NFL.
I'm going to start finding them. They find people for wearing the wrong color socks when they play. I mean, come on. Get your shit together and fix it. It was ridiculous trying to watch the first half of that game.
Rick Hughes, you're right. ESPN is no better. In fact, it's a piece of shit. It's a horrible website.
The last time I've typed that into my internet
And
browser.
By the way, on the previous show, we didn't say rest in peace, Craig Sager. I mean, the sports world and the world in general lost a hell of a man.
I made his jackets for him. Did you know that?
I doubt that that's true.
No, I didn't make them, but I sold them to him.
I doubt that that's true either, but
it's
I like
not.
It. I love that he wore those jackets and then sold them and sent the money to charity, which was awesome.
Yep.
I never knew that. For like 5 years, I thought the guy just had terrible fashion sense, and I heard the story about how he did it, which is awesome. So,
good dude, though, man.
Hell of a dude. Anyway, Chris, talk about your analysis, because the narrative came out. You've started about the genesis of these narratives. Mm. Nuck Nuck chimed in saying how he gets his stories.
Can I have that headband over there, that Crown Royal headband? That'll look cool on my bike.
You can definitely have that.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I did go back and watch, and I will start with this. I watched one game. I didn't go back and watch the last 3 to 4 that Doug Martin's been back. And this isn't taking into account other things that he does, like
pick up blitzes,
yeah, right. Things like that. You know,
sure.
I mean, it was I think leading last week of they need to go back to Jacquizz.
Right.
This is not Doug's contract year. He's not playing at the level that he has been in the years past. So, and can I say other sites' names on here?
Yeah, that's fine.
I have no problem with Joe Bucks fan. I like Lee a lot. I know that we had the guy from Pewter Report on the last show. And Lee's been very nice
to me.
I'm glad
he's... Oh, God, I hope he ain't
and
listening.
Stuff goes on.
I think he just crashed his car into a telephone
care.
Pole.
Stuff goes on.
You don't care?
Well, I do care about that. I like Lee. And stuff goes on in the background, and people offer to help you when you have podcasts and things and whatever. And if I still had a podcast, Lee probably would have come on my show at one point if Mark or Scott couldn't appear.
Or Nuck Nuck. By the way, I never got invited.
No, I asked. There was an article that they released, and it was about Doug Martin's production.
I mean, it was a blog they released.
Whatever it was, and it had the
articles
statistic
have to be
about
over 200 words.
Yeah. He just will not. He's as bad as Mark Cook.
Look, I'm trying to be
here. Here's your headband.
Yeah.
Shut up.
I'm trying to be nice about it. I had no problem with it. I asked the question via Twitter, are you measuring production by yards per carry? Because I think as a running back, there's a lot more that goes into just looking at one single stat line and saying yards per carry equals no production. And I think if you look at a lot of the things that go into it, I can ask you guys, the running back position to me is a unique one when you're on the field, because it's one of the positions where 10 guys have to be doing their job right for you to be more successful in what you're doing, in my opinion. Yeah, maybe one of the receivers or something, but for the most part, the offensive line, right, every single guy's got to do their job. You can kind of get away with it at wide receiver. You can get away with it sometimes at quarterback. But in my opinion, at the running back position, everyone's kind of has to be doing their job for you to be more successful in what you're doing.
It certainly helps when you got an offensive line that blocks, and Buccaneers are going to play a team that has one
sure.
of the best lines. It's no secret that Ezekiel Elliott's going to be Rookie of the Year, and you know, he's going to run for 1,800 yards this year because of a great offensive line. But what has made Doug Martin, I think, so good in the past when he succeeded his rookie year and then last year was when the offensive line wasn't playing his best. Let's remember his rookie year, he was running behind a guy named Jamon Meredith at times.
Sure.
And you know, not necessarily the best offensive line, but he was able to make things happen. And he's not doing it as much this year, but, you know, again, I'm with you. I'm not ready to throw Doug Martin out and say they need to go draft Dalvin Cook, although Cook would like that a lot, both of them, Mark and Dalvin. But bottom line there's a reason that some running backs, you know, Barry Sanders is a perfect example. The guy played against behind a horrible offensive line, but those are once in a generation type running backs. Doug's not there, but he's also not Peyton Barber either, and that's not a knock on Peyton Barber. Doug still makes things happen out of nothing, and all you have to do is go back and look at that touchdown run that he had. There's no way that's not a 4-yard loss for 75% of the running backs in
right.
the NFL.
Right.
But I still think. Look, I think he's still getting his feet underneath him a little bit. I mean, missing that time was significant, and the fact that he couldn't, you know, the cardiovascular part of things. I mean, how do you stay in shape when you can't use your leg? You know, that's not an easy thing to do. And once he got healthy, they stuck him back out there. So he's getting better, but offensive line definitely needs to help him out a little bit. There's no question about it. But I like the fact that they were able to use Sims a little bit of change of pace, and I think that's going to increase moving forward. And I still like the idea of giving Jacquizz Rodgers some carries. I mean, he's a tough inside runner. He's not a guy that hesitates, and Doug doesn't hesitate the way that Charles Sims does, certainly. But Jacquizz doesn't know any better. He'll run into a brick wall, and he's got legs that'll push through it.
I think Bishuk, I don't know if Bishuk is still listening live or in the chat room, but I mean,
he's got nothing to do.
We've had a couple Twitter conversations, the three of us, Derek, I want to say the three of us, not Nuck Nuck, about Jacquizz having just a different step and Doug looking a little bit different. But I'm going back and I'm looking at it. And you have to take in my opinion, the situation of what's going on. And you look at the game when he starts strong. I charted all of the 24 carries in this game. And if something went wrong,
I'm sorry, could you explain for the folks at home?
Charting.
By charting.
I charted 24 tweets.
They all
said Doug Martin sucks.
I had Doug at, he had 66 yards total. I have him for 49 yards after contact is what. But I mean, there's times where he's initial contact is 4 yards behind the line, and he stiff armed the defender and gets an 8-yard gain on that. But you mentioned in the previous show that we did, what were the Saints doing, and especially late in the fourth when the carries to Doug started going for 1 yard, 2 yard,
3 yards. They were stacking the
box.
Right? And they were daring the Bucs to throw the ball. They didn't throw the ball.
I just say that I didn't know a lot about the Saints defensive line going into this game, but they're a pretty physical, nasty unit.
Yeah, and Fairley was a beast in that game.
Absolutely. He's a guy that I really like coming out of Auburn, or Cook really liked him more so than I did, but good football player. And, you know, he was a beast, and they got a nastiness to him. I'm surprised that defense is as bad as it is statistically. And that also concerned me a little bit, too, because I really thought the Buccaneers would have more success moving the football. Both teams finished under 300 yards. If somebody would have said Drew Brees, Jameis Winston, neither one throws a touchdown pass, both offenses are under 300 yards, we would have taken as much money as we could have put together and bet against that, and it absolutely happened.
We would have leaned on you, Knock Knock, to go get some money from other sources.
I can do it. I got connections.
Offensive line definitely struggled in this game for Doug, and I looked at what other opportunities would Doug have had, and I charted two opportunities for maybe plus one. Now, your one that you mentioned where he got on the touchdown, if he follows his fullback and goes behind him, he scores a play earlier than what he did, where he had to break two tackles to get in the end zone. I think fans
and hurdle a planking Kevin Pamphill.
Yeah, planking. There you go.
We still plank.
I feel fans sometimes are too often, if this guy's not doing it for me, go to this guy or go to this guy. Can we like the fact right now that we have three running backs who bring a different style and can do different things? And this is the deepest that this running back core has been in a while. And the fact that they're mostly
for this franchise, maybe ever.
Right.
I mean, maybe going back to the Equid Bell days. You know, and Johnny Davis, and then when Wilder came aboard in the early 80s, and Melvin Carver, there's a good reference for you. You like that one, Derek?
Solid.
So,
Nick's brother, right?
Yes. So, wait, Melvin Carver, not Carter.
Oh, Carver,
yeah.
Sorry.
You're thinking Gerald Carter. That was his uncle.
Wasn't that Bill Clinton's, what guy?
Clinton.
Oh, James Carver.
That's how we
James
say it.
Carver.
James Carville.
Carville.
Saw
the
him.
Cajun.
Hey, swear on the Bible. Not that I ever do that, Lord. I apologize, but I'll swear on something else. This is a true story. We're down at Anna Maria Island a couple years ago. Guess who walking down the beach? The snake himself.
Jake?
Kenny Stabler?
No, Carville.
Oh.
He looks like a
Jake
bald
the snake. Roberts.
Like, I've never heard him call the snake from Raging Cajun.
You've never seen the Saturday Night Live skit where he's literally this, you know,
No, I'm not allowed to stay up that late.
Yeah, that's
plus they talk
ill
of our president elect, and I won't watch him because it's just bad.
It is bad.
But they don't allow equal access.
But yeah, he and his wife, the conservatives, were walking down the beach, and we all did a double take. You got to be kidding me! That was him.
Would rather
we
didn't have seen him, Jake the Snake Roberts instead of.
I would rather have seen Ken Stabler.
Oh. I took a leak and saw my snake. Is that inappropriate?
Not on this show, it's not. Okay. I doubt that it's true.
It wasn't a snake. It was more like a small salamander. So it's actually a baby bird in a bush.
You don't have the same problem that Mark has. Every time he comes over to this house, he gets concerned about the mirrors that are in the bathroom because it makes him feel less of a man.
Yeah, what's wrong with this guy? In fact, I thought that was a circus mirror. It made me long and tall and lean.
I thought he was going to break into the mix lot.
I enrolled I enrolled mine. I don't know what's wrong with Cook.
Good Lord. Knuck Knuck's popular with the ladies and the men, as I understand it. But
baby
not
acorn.
That there's anything wrong with that. Now, there was a question in the chat room about the safety. Now, you watched that film. I heard Chase A put a bunch of film out there.
Chia.
Yeah.
He's got it on Twitter right now. You can go back and watch the play.
Yeah, so at Chase A, they've got some good cut-ups of that on Twitter. The question becomes, the way the team had been running the ball, why is that the play call? And my counter to Brian Dory in the chat room would be, what would you like the play call to have been? You can't run toss because we've proven we're not very good at it, especially.
Are you talking about on the safety?
Yeah. On the safety.
I'll tell you. Can I tell you what I wanted it to be?
Yeah, Knock Knock.
Exactly what Drew Brees did and Sean Payton did every single time they were backed up there. They threw the ball, they dropped back, and they threw the football, and they got it out of there every time.
Well,
the Bucs did not get a safety on Drew Brees, in case you were wondering.
We've also had a holding call in the end zone.
And guess what? He was standing on the sideline wearing basketball shorts because he wasn't in the game. He had a bad ankle.
Stalker.
Anyway, sorry.
No, I understand.
No, it's easy to second guess and say you should have done it and didn't work out. And Dirk say the same thing. You know, I should
have called
a different call.
The book tells you A or B gap in that play. You have to put your big boy pants on and sack up and get the fuck to the 5 yard line.
And the defensive playbook says the same thing.
No, I get
and
that.
Let's throw 11 guys up here and dare you to run it. And you know what? If you get through there, you get through there. But and there's not a line of defense. We can go back to what, 1980, whatever it was, when Tony Dorsett on Monday Night Football went 99 yards against the Vikings, mm-hmm. exact same scenario. Mm-hmm. And because once he got past the defensive line, there was no linebackers, no safeties.
Right.
And, you know, so, I mean, there is that chance of that. Bad things can happen, like it did happen in that game when they got the safety against the Seahawks. But I just felt that was too predictable myself. But, hey, well, that's why I drive a moped, not a Mercedes like Dirk Cutter.
You brought up a good point, though, Nug, about the hindsight aspect. And Brian's asking a good question. It's a fair question. The thing that is interesting about the hindsight play calling, and we've all done it, we'll all continue to do it. It's part of the thing that makes sports so much fun.
By the way, Cook just texted me, made it home.
That's good. And the police didn't follow him thinking he was you, right?
Actually, beat me. Huh? No.
Okay, that's good. No. So the thing with Brian Anger, two punts in a row where he throws darts down there, and the special teams who've been playing out of their freaking minds, right?
Josh Robinson deserves to go to the Pro Bowl if they've got a spot for a gunner.
They stop the ball down there. But how many times has that been the decision that people have raised holy hell about? Why are you punting that? You might as well go for it at that point. Why would you ever kick the ball? Because sometimes you kick it through the back of the end zone as a 20, end up with a net 21-yard punt, and you look like a jackass.
Yeah.
But you play the numbers. When you got a guy that kicks darts, you take those shots.
In fact, his first punt, actually, that happened. It went as a touchback, yeah. And it had a net of, you know, 31 yards or whatever it was.
So Brian, I get it. You know, don't run it. Everyone around you saying, don't run it, don't run it. I'm sure they were. I'm sure everyone has said, don't throw it, Jameis. And then he completed a pass. Everyone around you isn't a fucking coach. That doesn't make them smart. It makes them the crowd. Everyone around you is all Scott up the gut every other play when he was averaging 2.2 yards a carry late in his career.
That's not production.
So just because people are all screaming, it doesn't make it smart. So go back to your analysis, though. Dumb.
Yeah, well, I mean, on that play, I know they brought it up. Holly got completely bitch-slapped on that play.
He got
play.
Crushed.
I
hope that Holly's beard didn't hear us say that,
I
though.
Talked to Mark Cook before he left, and I too, believe the ball fully made it out of the end zone. But Doug got bent back so awkwardly that you couldn't even really
we
see
we got a fair
spot.
Number of calls that day. Yeah. I'm not going to bitch about that
Oh,
one.
Yeah. So I think the only opportunity on that one is maybe following Pamphiel and left and gets a yard out of it, but that hole closed pretty quickly. But analysis-wise, I mean, you have to look at what Doug did, what was there for him. It was one of the worst games that the offensive line played. It's not like Winston had a great game. He was getting beat up as well with the stunts. I think the coaching staff wouldn't be giving Doug 23 carries in a game when you've got those other guys if they didn't believe that he was the best running back. And it's the same shit we said about Gerald 6 weeks ago. You got the guy for 2 years, which you know, his contract tells you after that they can let him go for no problem, no loss. Enjoy what you have right now and stop giving the guy shit. There's plenty of other things you can complain about than Doug Martin and Gerald McCoy.
Well, and the argument that he's the guy starting is the Conte argument, right? And it's a sort of a logical fallacy sometimes, right? Just because they're starting doesn't mean that someone couldn't come in and play better.
Yeah.
It just means that the numbers tell us it's probably not true. They watch all of that tape. I remember Danny Lansana, in practice, looked like dog shit, right? But when the lights came on, he played pretty good football at times. Now, not well enough to stay with the team, but there are guys like that are gamers versus practice players.
But Doug wasn't getting 23 carries a game last year. I mean, they're feeding him the ball for a reason. I mean, he could barely get 14 to 17 carries last year, and look at the season that he had. So I don't think he's 100% still from the injury. I think he's the best back. You know, watching what he does for this football team and. Whatever, if people want to continue to run with that, then run with it.
We had another first in podcast history, I think, or about to. First, we had a Backstreet Boy on, Nick Carter, which was awesome. And Nuck Nuck, I don't know if you know that, but Mark got Nick Carter to call in tonight. You know who Nick Carter is?
I saw that movie Coach Carter one time. Is that the same guy?
You watched Coach Carter?
No, I
didn't think you did.
I didn't think
you would watch
my
Coach
VCR's
Carter.
My VCR is broke.
At any rate, the other one is I think that Thomas in the chat room may be killed by everybody else. He just made the comment.
He's dead?
No, he's not dead, literally. Oh. He may be killed by the other chat room people, though, because he just made the statement that Mike Alstott was the most overrated Buccaneer player in history.
Well, I know a former head coach who says the same thing.
He's a former head
Cook
coach.
Cook told me. Former head coach of the Bucs.
Nice. I like Mike Alstott.
He called him Mike Alstott. I mean, he called him Mark Alstott.
He called him Mark,
yes.
Yeah. He never bothered to learn his name. Yeah. No, I loved Mike. I love what he did for the community. And I've said this on our show before. Sean King, former quarterback. The Bucks made a comment on the radio back when there was sports radio worth listening to in Tampa, which there isn't now for anyone keeping track, by the way, the sports radio that's on right now, other than T-Kraz, and when they let Pat on the air on 620. The rest of it's all shit. Sean King said it. This town needs a talented white player to get behind. We're still in that era, sadly.
We got him. His name's Danny Vitale.
Doesn't he play for the Cleveland Browns now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, did you see he dropped a touchdown?
How has it not been Cam Brate taking this over? How is Cam Brate not elevated? Oh, because he's a tight end and he gets four
he's
touches
not really
a damn
that
game.
White. He's kind of black.
Is he?
Yeah, he went, went to a predominantly black school of Harvard.
Exactly. Yeah. Can you pull he didn't go to Howard. He went to Harvard.
Yeah. Howard and Harvard. Same thing, ain't it?
Jeez, OP. This is why we
it's
do
near
this
Spielman.
Show.
Mark that and pull that clip, please.
Thank you, Ren. I didn't know that Pat
that's
was
why
on.
Cook
that
leaves
just made
after the
better.
First hour. It's a little inappropriate when
it
the alcohol
does.
Starts
it
flowing.
It does, when the Tito's.
Has anybody got a lighter?
No, no one has a lighter. It's not legal in this. Oh, yeah, it is legal.
Yeah, it is. Thank
Damn
you.
It. You got a prescription for that?
My glaucoma is acting up.
You didn't put in on this, man.
I'm good.
All right. The phone lines are open, 813-964-7364. You guys over there chatting in the chat room with all of your words and your snickering. You can call in if you want. Glennon's up there with all sides. Glennon's a backup quarterback. He is what he is. So I'm not quite sure why anyone thinks he's overrated. He's just every backup quarter is like that. I mean, look at the backup. Who's the backup quarterback in New England right now? Pretty boy.
Garoppolo.
No, Garoppolo is what I'm talking about. Garoppolo right now, they're talking about the quarterbacks that are going to get big money next year. You look at the jackass down in Houston, Osweiler, right? I mean, he still sleeps. He's like Scrooge McDuck. He sleeps on a big stack of money, and he's terrible. But that's the way it works, you know? So
what do you see the contract that Kirk Cousins is going to get next year? Gonna be,
you like that?
We set the stage for what we're going to be paying Jameis here in 2 years.
You like that? No, it's well, Flacco started that, man.
Yeah. That's
people are still not begging for Glennon to start, Rick. Not here.
I don't think so.
No, it did happen, and I know when we had our little hiccup in the middle of the season or the front quarter of the season, there was certainly some of that out there. We actually talked about it on the show where we didn't cuss, and then we talked about it again on the show where we did, because there's a good reason for why that happens in a lot of those cases. And I don't mean to paint with such a broad brush, but I do want to say that they're all racist shitheads. If you get to the bottom of why some of these guys say that, they just don't like a black eye quarterback in their team, and it's just absolutely stupid and embarrassing. But sadly, this country has proven it can be stupid and embarrassing.
Unless they went to Harvard, then it's all right.
What?
If they went to Harvard, a black quarterback, then it's okay.
No, they'd still jump on that guy,
really?
Too. Oh, count on it.
They didn't. There was a guy that went to Grambling that everybody loved. Oh, wait, no, they didn't.
They didn't love him. They wouldn't pay him an offensive lineman salary.
Yeah.
So, at any rate, this week, Dallas, let's get into this a little bit more. The Doug Martin thing, have we squashed that enough? You guys in the chat rooms, we want to make sure that we educate you guys. When you hear these mouth-breathing jag-offs talk about things like yards per carry, and when you ask them about the plays, they haven't gone back and watched it. We ranted about watching all 22. Admittedly, Chris, it's a pain in the ass sometimes.
Yeah,
technology,
it sucks, man.
The technology kills you sometimes.
That should have taken me an hour and a half. It took me 3.5 hours.
But look at the dedication, though.
Damn you, Game Pass.
Look
yeah,
at
I stuck
the dedication.
With it. How many clicks did it get and generated ad money for me? Zero.
Zero.
Folks.
You didn't get it on BYOCB?
No. By the way, go to @BBPChris and you can click the Google link and go read every carry
play.
And see what happened, and it's charted, and I didn't make it pretty. I put some red and green and yellow, and the red and green, Merry Christmas, all right?
I'll tell you this, though. We said it, I guess, 7 weeks ago, and then 8 weeks ago. Watch the All-22 when we were losing, but things were starting to get better. We were starting to see it, and we sat in this very room. It wasn't you, Nuck-Nuck. It was Mark. We sat, and I said, listen, watch the tape. I get it. We're losing. It sucks. It sucks to lose, but the team is getting better. And
what
then the next
tape
week,
are y'all watching? Who's got a VCR that works? I need one. I want to see Coach Carter. I checked it out at Blockbuster. They still send me a bill, say I owe $374 in late fees plus 50 cents because I didn't rewind.
Please be kind.
I will.
Rewind. The week after when they lost again, I got the snarky bullshit on Twitter. Should we watch tape again? Will we feel better this time? Yeah, you would have. And you would have known what was going to happen afterwards. This team has been getting better consistently. Right? So do that with this shit. Don't fall for the clickbait.
Oh, when I said
813-964-7364 is the number, Vegas Bucks fan. I'll type it in here, too.
We talked about the turnaround that we could see in the defense of what Mike Smith was doing, and it was going to take 4 games, and then we started seeing the progress and then said, look, it's going to be 2 games where Atlanta and Oakland, you're going to see a step back. And I got berated because I pointed out how the Bucks were improving on defense because everyone wanted Jim Schwartz, right? That was the big name hire.
Yeah.
The Bucks were going this one direction upward. I'm pointing. You can't hear me. It's an audio show. And the Eagles' defense was starting to decline a little bit.
We can hear you, actually.
You can hear you. You just can't see your hand.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. I'm describing. Look, I'm a professional podcast. I was describing
take that
to the
man's
audience.
Liquor away.
Come on.
You don't know the difference between seeing and hearing.
No.
Damn it.
Did I say you can't hear me?
Yeah.
All right, Paul.
Yes, you did.
Can't see.
Damn it, I'm a professional podcaster.
I know you can't hear me because this is audio.
I'm like John Cena. You can't see me. All right. So, no.
Like Beverly Hills Ninja.
Some guy was,
you can't see me?
Some guy was calling me out week after week after week. Are they getting better now? Are they getting better now? I'm like, where have you been for the last 5 weeks? Like, I want you to come back to my timeline and tell me how I was so wrong that Mike Smith's defense, and now he's going to be the head coach in Jacksonville.
Can
so.
Y'all set me up on Twitter with my flip phone?
Yes,
my track
absolutely.
Phone. It's untraceable. I use that.
You get that burner?
Yeah,
that's called
that right.
That's called Twixter on a flip phone.
Yeah,
you don't get the full. You don't get the full.
Yeah,
the full app.
All yeah, right. But I don't pay $300 a month like you people.
So you
$45 straight talk.
Straight talk.
Walmart.
Well, Knock should be getting paid by Walmart.
And when the green and white are behind me, I just throw it in the ditch as I'm going down the road.
Someone's going to call
him.
My
phone.
I want to yell at somebody.
Vegas Buck fan was going to call, but it's...
Oh, I like him too much.
Rick Hughes is going to dip. Rick, it was good having you in the chat room. Appreciate that article you put up there today, by the way. Big shout out to all of our authors who put that content out. We appreciate it. We're not ever going to grow into what Mark's page is with Pewter Report. Those guys put out amazing work, but we do a good job. Our guys do good stuff out there. Thomas is still trying to piss everyone off picking a bunch of Bucks people who are terrible. That aren't sometimes. But if you do want to call in, 813-964-7364. Apparently, Chris wants to yell at someone.
Can
so
I call
wanna...
in?
No. I wasn't the biggest John Lynch guy.
Is
Thomas and I, are we now in the same crowd?
I don't know. He hasn't called out John Lynch yet.
Okay.
I think the only one that he called out that pissed everyone off was Mike Allstott.
He called out Ricky Bell a minute ago. He said he shouldn't have got sick. It's his fault.
Jesus.
What he said. I'm just reading what I wrote. I'm not saying it.
You're reading what you wrote?
No, what Thomas said.
You just said, this is
audio
like a
podcast.
Number.
They can hear you.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to the What the Buck podcast. This is Vegas Buck fan.
Yeah, what's up, man? How you doing?
Good, good. Good to have you, my friend. What's on your mind? What's on your
hey,
soul?
No, I need that delivery, okay?
Hey, listen, man. I'm thinking about going to Dallas, but that's a long drive in cold weather on a moped.
Wait a minute. But
I got a buddy in Colorado, so we can definitely hook you up.
Wait a minute. It's Vegas Bucks fan, so he's going to be at the Backstreet Boys tour starting March 1st.
Hey, man, can I crash on your couch when I come out for that?
Come on out.
Sweet.
Gotcha.
All right, man, I got you. Got a place to stay. I'm ready to go.
Nice.
I'll be in Tampa next week, so I'll pick it up from there. I'll meet you somewhere down there.
All right, that's perfect, man. I'll be over by the Mons.
Okay, good.
There's a Wendy's two stores down. I'll be there.
I'll probably get a little bit ripped from you guys as well too, but I think of all the guys running the ball right now, and listen, I know maybe it's a small sample. I like the way Peyton Barber runs the ball. It's single one cut down the hill. And listen, I know maybe he's a little younger legs than we have right now in the backfield, but if you watch his runs, and it's just a small sample this year, he's averaging almost 4.5 to 5. I know you can probably factor in the long one he had at San Fran, but I think that guy's got a little bit of a future on this team. I think I don't know what your thoughts are, but I like to see him get a few more touches out there, especially in the red zone as well too. I think he may have a little more thunder inside the five.
What do you think, Chris? To Vegas Buck fans' comment,
he's the new Mike James.
Shut up, Mike
no,
James
like,
was fine.
I love Mike James.
Ass.
I wish he would stay healthy. I was at the Seattle game when he went off.
So was
up
I.
In Seattle,
yeah.
Even though we lost in overtime. That was probably his best game of his career ever played.
That's good stuff. No, I think Peyton's a good little running back, and I think he's easy to hide, which is good, right, because no one knows who the hell he is.
Well, he's one of the smallest guys, right, but he's considered the goal line back or the short yardage back, right, just because of that style that he runs. I think he's got a future.
Ren Dax in the chat room brought up a good point, though. His blocking, he becomes a liability
sure.
in other aspects
yeah.
that you were describing earlier when describing Doug Martin.
Yeah.
It's not just about running the ball. That's the same thing that happens when people say, what we really do need to do is put Doug Martin and Jacquizz in the backfield at the same time. Okay, guys, if you put both those guys back there, you have a couple of problems with blocking. Your pass protection becomes an issue. Like that rocket backfield that Gruden wanted to do forever with insert random running back here doesn't work too well, right? There's still only one ball. But your point is to go in Vegas. I think Peyton's a good guy. I think it's a great problem to have. The depth we have at running back right now is a great problem to have. We haven't had it as long as I can remember. We had WD-40.
Listen, you know? And also, too, and Mark maybe knows a little bit better. Do you think, and I think the Patriots claimed Floyd today, do you think the Bucks would have, or do you think they even considered it, or do you think after the whole ASJ release of after a DUI, they just couldn't do that?
Well, Mark told me, we talked about this. I don't know for, or he doesn't know for a fact, but nobody knows the intel on Floyd better than Jason Light, other than Steve Keim and Bruce Arians. That's because I believe Jason was there when they drafted the guy. Look, they need help at wide receiver, and he's a talented guy that could have upgraded this. But I suspect, from what Mark said, that you know, there was something more to that. Again, people that weren't in Tampa didn't understand the whole Austin Seferian Jenkins thing. They just saw the guy get a DUI, saw it, read it on Pro Football Talk, and the Bucs cut him and the Jets picked him up. There's a lot more that goes into this than, you know, just, you know, one simple mistake. Arizona is not a team that can afford just to cut good football players based on just one mistake. So I suspect that, you know, and again, this is me just speculating based on what Mark said, that, you know, there's more to it than just that. Because, again, Jason Light and Steve and Bruce are close friends. They talk all the time. So, you know, I'm guessing, and I'm only guessing, that you know, there might be a little bit more to it than just his one issue that he had that he got popped for last week.
While we may not be experts of the other 31 teams in the league, if you follow the right people who cover those teams on Twitter, and, for example, the Arizona Cardinals, you know it was more than just this mm-hmm. one incident. This was leading up to it. And I think it was two DUIs, actually, now that yeah. he's had. This is not
what?
The first.
Didn't he have a couple at Notre Dame as well, too?
He may have.
I think he had one there and one in the NFL, right? Is that right?
I thought he had a total
this
of two.
Two.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, I thought he won another game. Hey, and I'm coming down obviously for the Carolina game. So, and I'll be in 216. So I'm gonna give Derek a hard time.
Hey, bring it, brother.
So, listen, I've got a 6:30 flight that night. Do you think they're gonna flex that game to 4?
Yes, I do.
I mean, what did you do?
I think you need to change your flight. And Chris is shaking his head. I think that game is going to end up being important. I think they're still going to want to. Cam still has some prestige. Let's say sit Cam with a phantom injury because they're playing like dog shit.
I got to look at the schedule, though.
An NFC game, a division game. If Atlanta falters at all, it becomes a huge game. Not that I think they will. They're playing Slappy McSlappertons, the 49ers, and then, you know, obviously the same division people we've already played. But I think it shapes up that it could be one of those risky things. I would definitely check with your airline and see about changing. This is why when I travel for games, I never fly out day of game.
Even if it's a 1 o'clock, you're pushing it at a 6:30
and flight. Some people have to, right? I mean, for work or whatever. Sure. I get it, man.
Oh, I got work, and I got the kids. I got the family. Yeah, I got to go back
it's
here.
It's dope
so
that you're coming out
did,
here, but I definitely think it's a risk, man. I would call the airline if you can and see what's going on, if you're able to change it. But I would bet that it's going to be flexed.
When you call with the Buck, not only do you get football knowledge, you get travel agency advice as well.
There you go. We call us Orbits. Is that still around?
Hey, no. Can you give me a couple of later plane tickets?
We can probably work something out. I'll be at that Wendy's on Del Mabry, just a little bit past the Mons. If I'm not at the Wendy's, then I'll be at the Mons. But I can. I've got some guys at the airport that can help you out.
That's
if not
Southwest, so it's Sour West, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, no, we'll get you there though. I got a buddy that I'm doing air quotes now because you can't hear me on an audio podcast, as Chris said earlier. But you can't see me. Well, I got a buddy that flies, if you know what I mean, and he can get you anywhere you want to go for a couple a couple hundred bucks because he's probably got some deliveries out west anyway. Or actually,
this is
picking up.
This is why I listen to this podcast.
Awesome.
Hey, Vegas, here's your two other options of that flex. So you've got Saints at Falcons that week as well, and you also have Packers at Lions, which is potentially for the division. So that would, I would think, get moved to the Sunday night game. So you're batting 50-50, guessing right now, between who in the NFC South is going to get flexed to 4:25 or 4 o'clock.
Oh, Derek, are you doing a watch party Christmas Eve for the game?
Christmas Eve. No, not doing a watch party at all. We're going to stay with our families. I can't travel to New Orleans because it is Christmas Eve, and I'm so bitter about it that I may not even speak to anyone that day other than my family, because that would also get me in trouble. So I believe there probably will be someone crazy enough to do a watch party. The Bucks, I think, will have their road rally. So if you're down here in town and you want to go watch the game with other folks, you can do that. Hit me offline if you want to, and we'll try and figure something out.
Okay, cool. Yeah, cool. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. And I'll see you guys. I'll definitely see you at the Carolina game. For either little or the whole game, and appreciate everything. And
all right.
I'll see you Friday on Dan Mabry.
We'll fire one up.
All right, brother.
Hey, bring a lighter. Thank you. I can never keep a lighter. I know what the problem is.
All right, Vegas Buck fan calling in. We got about 5 more minutes, guys, and we're going to get out of here, but I definitely wanted you to get a little bit of this Doug Martin stuff. We're going to continue trying to educate people that'll listen to not fall for this bullshit that's going on. We're going to continue to rail against it on this show, both in a clean way in the first show, and then if we're really pissed off about it, we will rail about it on these other shows, because the only thing that will stop that, guys,
that
will stop it is for you not to click on the bullshit. It's that simple, right? If it didn't raise funds, no one would do it. If you demanded from these outlets real analysis, they'd have to go crack open a book and learn how the fuck
to
play football.
Talking about the same people who fall for the Publix is giving you $100 off a 2-cent purchase.
They are,
you know,
they?
The fake coupons, and yeah, they are.
I'm also talking
free
about
Chick-fil-A's
42%
and
of the populace.
And that, you know, that Hillary Clinton killed 97 people on her way to the White House. People will believe anything they read on the internet.
It's true, right? Abraham Lincoln said that.
Yeah, and Teddy Roosevelt.
So, Ren, your question about Dirk Cutter as a play caller is a good one. I like Dirk Cutter as a play caller. I think that what Dirk has shown is a willingness to adjust and a willingness to admit when he's wrong. That sort of tinkering is what I like to see out of a play caller, period. He's not going to get it right all the time. He doesn't have guru complex, which you remember Steve White and I railing against for 6 or 7 years. Guys are like, oh, I'm back in the lab. Guess what I'm going to do? Nobody expects this play. It's the annexation of Puerto Rico. Little Giants, one of the greatest movies ever made. But he's going to go out there, he's going to do the things he wants to do, and he's going to go back at halftime and evaluate and see what's going on. He's going to make some little tweaks here and there, and then he's going to come out and say, you know what, I kind of shit the bed this week. I expected this to be better. There are times where I, as a play caller, there's things I like that maybe are not his style, but I think as a team, we have to be very pleased with how he's using. This is like putting, insert a real good cook. Well, you guys watch these cooking
Mark
shows,
Cook.
Right? No, not Mark Cook.
Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay. You've taken Gordon Ramsay on offense right now.
And you put him in a Burger King.
You put him in a Burger King. Yep. Great.
It's rule.
This shit is still a fucking Whopper. Right?
It's fucking rule.
But all of a sudden you take him and you put him over at Eddie V's, shit gets real. So we need the guys to get healthy. We need some groceries back in the cabin.
Now
I'm hungry too. Did you bring any food, Knock Knock?
Nothing
but Doritos and Cheetos and shit, right?
Yeah, I got some Twinkies. Yeah. I got one Twinkie.
Woody Harrelson would be happy.
Yes.
Tom Brooks, I agree. Time of possession is absolutely critical. And Jimmy Johnson in the chat room. Hey, Jimmy, hopefully you're safe over there, man. Thanks for the analysis on the Winston stuff. It's always good. If you guys aren't reading that, you definitely should. His play-by-play breakdown. Thomas, I agree. The commit to the run is solid, even when it's not getting the big chunks. You've got to do that. Now, to Mark's point earlier, or maybe Nuck, you might have made this point actually in the secondary show, if they are going to stack the box and you're not in a precarious position like on your 6-inch line, right, you have to try and punch them in the mouth. You have to have the balls to do that. Now, the Saints, like I said in the first show, they were leaving guys that are in the slot open, just wide, uncovered, which is crazy to me. We didn't do anything about it. The other thing that teams have been doing is they'll show press against Mike. And sometimes they'll bracket with a safety. But if Jameis looks up and sees press on Mike, and he looks up and sees that safety is not on that side of the hash, fuck the play.
Mm-hmm.
The play is no longer applicable. It's just time for a 9. Get across them and get down the field and let them go get it. And I think that they're getting that chemistry. They're going to be able to do that. So anyway, last thoughts.
Wait. Let's just say this.
Yeah.
Jameis should have a good game because we know the Cowboys are going to play primarily a cover two, right? They're
two deep shells, zone team.
And this is where I think Jameis really excels, you know, better against man. Than he does against man. So I think that's another reason that Jameis is going to have a pretty good game this week. I know that Cook picked him for his skull head or whatever it was.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. It's the skull head.
Skull head.
It's the skull head award. Yeah.
I had a skull head bong one time,
I want to change.
Check out with stole it.
I'm going to change my offensive pick for Leonard Wester. Let's go with that.
I liked Leonard.
The Bucks Brief Podcast obscure pick of the week, ladies and gentlemen.
Cook actually talked to Leonard in the locker room today.
I didn't. Yeah,
Leonard wasn't nervous. He said,
"I wanted to go back and look and chart how many times they went jumbo in that last game because I kept seeing it." Leonard Wester reports
number 66.
Yeah, they report him
eligible,
and I'm like, "Ladies, he's eligible. What are you waiting on? He's an NFL player."
You really don't understand this, do you? Nuck-nuck?
No, what they say he's eligible. They're announcing to 64,000 people this guy's eligible.
Gotcha.
He ain't a bad looking dude.
Russell Shepard scores a special teams touchdown this week. Is that what you're calling out? A strip fumble or a strip touchdown? That's a strong pick, Thomas. All right, last thoughts. Nuck-nuck, what are your last thoughts for this podcast? We appreciate you coming in. We know you're a busy man. You got a lot of clients everywhere. You definitely need to get that damn moped dirt bike shit out of my pool, by the way.
No, I'm going to get it, man. It's cool. Right. I tightened a gas tank. It shouldn't be too much fuel in your pool.
13 times Wester was in, by the way. Jimmy Johnson already has it.
Yeah, of course.
The guy is a trap.
And he was one hell of a coach at the University of Miami, by the way.
and you know what? That dick measuring stuff or makes it bigger. He was added for a while. Enzyte or something?
Yeah.
God love him. You got to have a pretty big set to be sponsored by that, I think.
I got some Enzyte if anybody wants to buy some.
Final thoughts, Knuck Knuck.
Oh, yeah, none. About what?
Jesus Christ. Chris, take over. Dory's remember. Final thoughts. If we win this game, we're a Super Bowl contender.
I found Dory.
My buddy. That's Ellen DeGeneres, right?
Yeah. You mean Owen Wilson? Because no one's seen those two in the same room together.
Shout out to my friend Casey Shaw, who likes to go back and forth with me on Twitter and how I don't like to predict far out outside of the game that's coming up. I think two out of the three are Bucks wins. They do win 10 this year. It's going to be the Saints or the Panthers. I can't decide which yet. But I think I feel really good, as I mentioned in the first show, that they take it this week. But they'll finish 10 wins. That's my final thought.
Final thought, 10 wins. Knuck Knuck, did you manage to form a final thought yet, or are you still working on that?
When is Ryan Russell MVP? Kick Nutter calling in?
Kirk Nutter?
Yeah, Kirk Nutter. When's he calling in?
He's not.
Y'all said he's calling in tonight. No. He's been in that group, Bell Biv DeVoe, right? We should have one of those guys on.
I thought it was me.
I would be even more of a fanboy.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't question Cook. He can
Dude,
make
can
shit
Cook
happen.
Make that happen?
He
I was a big New Edition happen. Guy. Listen, yeah. if he ever came to the tailgate, rather than Knuck Knuck, he would know that we do a lot of Bell Biv DeVoe, a lot of old New Edition.
Sweet.
There's Montel Jordan got more play this week than he did when he was like a real artist.
Y'all do any Hendrix?
No.
No.
Do
no.
me, baby.
Thomas in the chat room just said if the Bucks win this week, the rest of the NFL is scared, right? No one wants to see the Bucks win. And I
if
think
the Bucks win
true.
This week, I'm jumping in Jason Light's pool with my mini bike.
Okay, so last
I'm going to jump it like Caesar's Palace, like evil fucking Knievel. I just dropped the F-bomb.
You did?
It's okay.
It's Knuck Knuck. It's fine.
Oh, yeah, true.
I will say that, though. This thing,
you
got to
admit, evil fucking Knievel just flows.
You might have to, it does. You might have to bring Mark back.
Rolls
for this
off
one.
The tongue.
Yes.
You might have to bring Mark back for this one. Regardless of what they do, right? They make the playoffs. They barely miss the playoffs, whatever it is. This is learning experiences for this football team moving forward into the future, mm-hmm. right? It's 6 wins last year, can't win at home. It's now, okay, they couldn't win at home. Winning games at home, being confident, winning, putting together a streak, which they hadn't done since 2002, right? This last one finally beat the Shiano 4 wins in a row or 3 wins in a row, whatever it was. But it's these learning experiences that I think is helping this team grow up. It's a young football team with some veterans scattered in there. So even if they don't go all the way this year or they drop in the wild card or they don't make the playoffs because of the loss to the Rams, it's learning experiences that I think this team is going to build on moving forward. So at least as Bucks fans, you can be confident that the future is bright.
How did this team give up 37 Look, points to the Rams?
Having a quarterback, and I Mark Ryan, who used to be on the air with Booger.
Terrible.
He was on Robert Ayers?
He and I got into it about the Bucks should have tanked that last game just to secure to get Winston. I'm like, you never lose on purpose, even though the coaching staff benched everyone in the second half. It is so important, the fact of having – you don't agree that they did that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Tavares King was out there. Mike Evans was on the bench, yes.
Look at the fact of these teams now, these up-and-coming teams who have the young quarterbacks who are playing well with Mariota, who's going to be a fine quarterback in this league, with Winston, and then the teams that struck out, what you're seeing in Jacksonville right now. How important is it to have that franchise, quote-unquote, quarterback there and building around that? What?
I'm sorry. It's a fucking horseshit narrative you yelled at other people for.
What's that?
It's the same shit that people said when Robert Griffin had a great first year. This is why you got to get a RG3, and now he sucks.
No.
Well,
no.
And then, now it's Colin Kaepernick. Oh, wait, now he sucks too. Quarterbacks have to perform for 5 to 7 years before you can make any analysis about whether it makes any sense. Is it better to have a good quarterback? Yes, it's a fucking tautology.
Right.
That's like saying it's really important to have a great running back. No shit, having a bad running back sucks.
Okay. No, you know I get what I mean? It. I'm saying that where the franchise is right now, you can relate it back to the fact of how those quarterbacks are playing right now, right? Bortles is not playing well.
Right.
They're struggling. Winston and Mariota are playing well in their second year. The team is winning football games.
Right. It's the second year clause that I think is an interesting ad. Right.
Hey,
right.
When
quarterbacks play well, generally speaking, their teams do better because they're offense scores.
But let's, and I know you hate college football, so Chris and I will talk about this. And again, I'm not knocking your Gators. Look, your football team had enough talent to win against Alabama if they had had a quarterback,
sure.
right? I mean, they haven't had one since Tebow. Florida State's been fortunate, but they won a national championship. They had Jameis Winston. They go to the playoffs next year. Francois is better than Del Rio and Applebee and Chili's and all the other franchise restaurant quarterbacks you guys have. But the bottom line is, I mean, that's the key, right? I mean, you have to have that guy in place. I mean, you don't, you know, I was listening to Nick Carter talking about that with Trent Dilfer. That's more of an anomaly than moving forward, I think, in the NFL, where you have game managers that win Super Bowls. There's a reason Alex Smith, this team, Kansas City, finishes, you know, 11-5, 14-2 every year, and then gets hammered in the playoffs. I mean, because he's limited in what he can do. He's not a guy that can carry a team on his back, and you need that guy every once in a while to be able to carry a team on his back and get hot at the right time. And we've seen it with Joe Flacco a few years ago when they went all the way. Having that elite quarterback is crucial.
We saw it with Trent Dilfer, too. He got hot, and Baltimore was able to.
Now, again, we're going all the way back to 2001. I mean, this didn't happen last year. I mean, again, I said it doesn't happen very often where you're going to win a Super Bowl with a Trent Dilfer. I don't think so. I mean, unless you have the most dominant defense in the NFL like the Ravens had that year.
Yep. All right. Well, there you have it. Blue hat escort to the locker room. Oh, is that Michael Bennett apparently just went out for the Seattle? Apparently the Seattle Seahawks are playing this evening.
The Seattle. Like my grandmother used to say stuff like that.
The Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, you just said the Seattle, and then you added Seahawks. You paused.
They are the Seattle Seahawks, right?
I know, but you said the Seattle.
Knock, knock. What are you doing over there?
I don't know.
Jesus Christ.
Somebody have a fucking lighter?
No one has one.
Rest in peace,
good night,
Jeff
everybody.
Fisher.
I want to thank you guys for tuning in to both shows.
He did?
No.
He just got fired, and then he died.
Everybody's dying. Thomas died.
Alan Thicke died. Jeez.
What?
As long as we got each other.
No, he did not. This is a cruel joke, man. I was in New Orleans. What are you talking about?
Alan Thicke? Died.
Yeah.
Alan Thicke died.
No.
Monday or Tuesday of this week.
Yeah. How is Alan Thicke dead, but Dick Van Dyke is still alive?
Drugs. You should know, not drugs. All right. Thanks for tuning in to the second show. Thanks for tuning in to the first show. We will not be back next week because it's Christmas. Well,
so we're
going to
go ahead and do a third show now?
No third show. We may be back next week. It's Christmas holidays. What? I'm going to be in Virginia.
How are we going to be back?
We won't do a show here. Listen, I've got all the gear. I can do it from wherever. If you're available, we'll get you in there. Knuck, knuck. If Mark's available, we'll get him in there. I think he's eating oysters that night. I don't know.
No, he's going to the USF basketball
game. Chris, you've got amazing shit you're doing. I want to thank Chris from formerly known as Bucks Brief Podcast, now with BYOCB. I appreciate the koozie you brought
Fisher
me
without
this evening.
A C.
Yeah, we're a Monorail pub crawl this weekend, Disney, 6 o'clock. We're starting the Grand Floridian. Us and drinking at Disney. So if you...
That shit up.
Y'all let people
Florida.
Sell outside there?
What? Yeah, of course. Come join us. All come right. Ride the monorail with us and grab some delicious drinks. We're going to get really hammered.
All right.
Kids love it. The kids love it. Knock, knock, what have you got going on? Anything exciting that you can talk about on the radio or on
the internet? I got a meeting at 1:30 and I got a meeting at 2:45 tonight, so that's all I got going
that's
on.
That's good stuff.
Hey, can I borrow a few dollars for gas, anybody?
Just get your shit out of my pool.
It's coming out, man.
All right. Thanks for joining us, guys. We'll get this podcast up tonight, and we will see you guys on the other side. Go Bucks.
See you.
Show me the meaning of being lonely.